Could the congressional shooting yesterday in Alexandria, Virginia, reignite the gun debate? Though there hasn't been any big news about pro-gun legislation since President Trump took office, you may be surprised to know that there has been activity under the radar. Bloomberg Businessweek editor Paul Barrett has written about it, and he joins us now. Paul, let's start with this internal white paper from the number two official at the ATF.
Right. So this was an internal memo dated January 20, the day that President Trump took office. And it basically provided the new administration with a variety of potential deregulatory steps that the ATF could take, in the opinion of the number two official, a guy named Ron Turk. And among those steps that he discussed was the relaxation of regulation of silencers, an easing of the oversight of gun dealers who were found to have the guns they sold turning up at crime scenes, and other similar things. In other words, moving in a direction that you would generally think the ATF would not want to go in.
So does that indicate that he's the number two right now? There's no number one at the ATF.
Correct.
Right now. So does that indicate that that's the direction that they're going to take?
It's ambiguous, because when I called the ATF to ask them, they said, well, that was just his opinion. On the other hand, it was put together in a very formal looking memo that said not for public distribution. And in a House hearing, Turk himself described the memo as just a collection of ideas that have been floating around for a while that they thought the new administration might be interested in. Now, the new administration, of course, is very well known for its deregulatory inclinations, so that would seem to indicate that this was more than just a neutral exercise.
And you talked to David Chipman, a retired ATF agent who's now a senior policy advisor to the gun control group Americans for Responsible Solutions. And he said that a number of the proposals in that white paper are major line items for the gun industry. Why are those line items?
Well, let's take the silencer one just as an example. The gun industry, like all industries, wants to sell not only its main product, the firearms, but also accessories like a silencer. There are, of course, millions and millions of handguns in the hands of civilians today. If every one of them was able to buy a silencer at $100 or $200 a pop, that would be a lot of revenue for the gun industry.
Now you have, and along those lines, you have Republicans in both houses, and then, as you mentioned, a president who got $30 million in campaign support from the NRA. So it's the perfect time for pro-gun legislation, it
right.
seems. Let's talk about a bill related to that, remarkably called the Hearing Protection Act.
Right. This would be the legislative approach, sort of analog to what has been proposed within the ATF. And the Hearing Protection Act would make it just as easy to buy a silencer as it is to buy a gun. Right now, it's actually much more difficult to buy a silencer than it is to buy a firearm. You have to wait 8 or 9 months, get special ATF approval, and you have to pay a special $200 tax in order to get a silencer. This would sweep those requirements away and would make the silencer purchaser all you'd have to do to buy the silencer would be to pass the instant FBI background check, and you'd be walking out the door.
Because is there any reason to use a silencer unless you are intending to commit a crime?
Well, gun aficionados would tell you that if you're out hunting or you're at the shooting range, target shooting, that you'd want to use a silencer for the same reason that up till now smart gun owners use earplugs. But this would further protect your hearing. And I think there's some truth to that. I think some law-abiding gun owners already use silencers. But of course, the reason that silencers are so heavily regulated dates all the way back to the Depression era, when they were associated with gangsters and assassins and so forth. And so they have a kind of a dual purpose, just like firearms themselves can be used recreationally or they can be used for bad ends.
I always see them in the movies being used by the bad guys. Now, then there's the Constitutional Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act.
Right. So all 50 states now allow gun owners under certain circumstances and sometimes with a permit to carry a gun concealed in public. But the rules vary from state to state. And this act would say that if you have a permit in your home state, you can then take your gun into any other state across state lines, and you would be able to do that legally, even if the requirements in the state you're traveling to are more strict than they are in your home state. So it would just facilitate the movement of firearms around the country and make it easier for gun owners to carry their guns.
And do states have a say in it? If you're carrying in the wrong, the wrong way in, let's say, New York, and
right.
Can they arrest you? Can they charge you?
Well, right now, a gun owner, in theory, would be in some peril of carrying a gun concealed outside of their home state if their home state doesn't have an individual reciprocity agreement with the state that they're going to. But under this legislation, that fear would be erased, because if you had a legitimate permit from your home state, you'd be all set.
And Trump has also, besides we've heard about all his deregulatory steps with other areas, he's also been taking deregulatory steps urged by the NRA, which we haven't heard that much about.
Right. There have been a couple of these things that he's been able to do by signing legislation that rolled back regulations that were put in place by the Obama administration. The Obama administration restricted the circumstances under which certain people with mental illness could acquire guns. That's now been erased. A somewhat more narrow gauge regulation that had to do with hunting on federal land in Alaska, where restrictions were put in place, hunting of bear, for example, that's been erased. So you can go up to Alaska and shoot some bear on federal land if that's what you want to do.
From an airplane.
And including from an airplane, yes.
Just briefly, about 30 seconds, are the gun control lobbies, are the gun control groups doing anything about this?
Well, right now, the debate has been relatively muted, I would say, since Trump took office. We'll see what happens in the wake of this congressional, baseball practice shooting. But even in the wake of that, there hasn't been the kind of outcry that you might have expected. I think people may be fatigued over this debate, or they may have such a strong sense of where Trump stands on it that they're discouraged from partaking in the debate.
It was such an interesting article, because really it has been under the radar. We appreciate you being here as always. That's Paul Barrett, Bloomberg Businessweek editor. And to read more of Paul's articles, you can go to Bloomberg Businessweek, which has been relaunched with a new look, a new set of digital products, and new editorial features. It's very snazzy. Thanks so much for listening to Bloomberg Law. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 p.m. Wall Street time. Thanks to our producer, David Sutcherman, and our technical director, Chris Tricomi. You can always find the latest legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Coming up next, Bloomberg Markets with Carol Masser and Corey Johnson. This is Bloomberg.